Another round of applause. That was great. Amen. Well, I tell you what, as I was sitting there and you think of these songs and you think about the reality of Christmas and what it means, I can't help but get emotional and teary-eyed when I think about what Christ has done for us. You see there in the lyrics of that song, you're born, you know, that men no more may die. And you think about that. You think about what the birth of Christ means to us. And, you know, here we are in the week of Christmas. And by now you probably attended several Christmas get-togethers and Christmas parties and probably some things with your work and maybe some family events already. And you know, we had ours here with the church last night. And you've probably experienced some of that Christmas joy, if you will, as we were singing the song there, you know, joy to the world. However, I know, and maybe for some folks in this room this morning too, but Christmas is not always a joyous time for some people. Christmas is a time where it's a holiday or a yearly reminder of lost loved ones. It's a reminder of loneliness, and it doesn't necessarily bring the joy that Christmas ought to bring. You know, and I can understand that. I can understand, especially when it comes to birthdays, when it comes to anniversaries, and those things where we come for that. But I just think that Christmas ought to be an exception to that rule. I think that Christmas ought to be an exception to the rule, that it is that reminder of sadness, that it is that reminder, because we have something great and joyous to be worshiping and to be getting excited about. And the title of the message this morning is Christmas is a Time for Rejoicing. Okay, so let there be that one day. Yes, the birthday comes around of that lost loved one, and that's sad. I got it. And yes, that anniversary comes around of either the death or the anniversary, and that's a sad time. Yes, we have a lot of reasons this side of heaven to be sad. We have a lot of reasons to be down and beat down, but I can tell you that Christmas is a huge reason to rejoice. It's a huge reason to stand up and shout that our Savior and our God chose to descend from heaven and to be born as he was. And I can tell you that just brings so much gladness and joy in my heart and my life to know what an awesome God I served this morning. And I hope that you serve that same God. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning. If you don't, we can get that taken care of and, you know, show you who he is today. But my biggest thing that I think about is, what was Satan thinking during this time? I mean, Jesus coming, this was the beginning of his end. He knew when this child was born, because of the biblical prophecies that's been given before, Satan knew. And so here you have this Savior. Here you have the one that, as was spoken about in the curse in the Garden of Eden, that was going to crush his head. And he was born. And this entire time that we celebrate, you know, Satan is going around and he is wanting this season, he is wanting this time to be sad for everybody. You know, the things that you come down, I don't think it's of God when we are so beat down during Christmas. I think that's exactly where Satan wants us to be. I think Satan wants us to wallow in the sadness that Christmas can be about and bring up all of the bad things that we can possibly think of. But we can do that every day, can't we? I can sit here on Monday, tomorrow, though it is not Christmas, and sit there and think about that, you know, a couple of years I lost my grandmother and all of those things. I can do that every day, but I'm going to choose to remember the great thing about Christmas that is here, because I got 364 other days outside of a leap year that I can remember all of that other, you know, trash that Satan throws in my way. But I want to remember this day, and I want to worship that this was the beginning of Satan's end. And then when we get to Easter, oh man, how we should rejoice. And because that was it. That was toast for him. That was when his head was crushed, as far as anything, you know, been done with his ultimate power for the end. But this morning I'd like for us to take a look at the nativity and how it played out and how they got to the manger. You ever think about that? How all these parties, except the wise men, you know, I keep saying that, How did the shepherds get to the manger? How did Mary, Joseph, get to the manger? And I think when we look at this a little bit, it's a pretty awesome thing. We know that Luke records that there was no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. You know, they were having to go by governmental decree to Bethlehem for the census to be taken. Everybody talks about the innkeeper, greeting cards, picture the innkeeper, the conversation between Mary and Joseph and the innkeeper. There was no such conversation between Mary and Joseph and any innkeeper. The innkeeper is never even mentioned in the Bible. Never. All it says simply is there was no room for them in the inn. And you assume that, you know, they didn't see the neon sign that said no vacancy. You know, as they were trotting, you know, by, somebody had to tell them that there was no room there. But you get that. We understand that they went and they found the only place in Bethlehem, because all of these people descended upon Bethlehem to have that census taken. The only place left for them was a manger. Now, manger, and that word manger in the Greek means feeding trough. Okay? So manger is not the whole thing. That's a stable. But he was being placed in a manger, as you see beautifully pictured down here. Now, that is probably kind of sort of accurate in that he was in a feeding trough. That's where the baby was laid in. And where would a feeding trough be? A feeding trough would have been inside of a stable, okay, where animals were. And that's where you get the, you know, cows lowering their heads and all in the silent night. And so we know how Mary and Joseph made it to the manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn and the census and all of that. I want us to take a look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8 this morning, and and read a portion of the Christmas story. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, and it'll also be on the screen. It's on my back screen back here, but it's not on y'all's, is it? As you turn there, I'll turn it on. All right, it says in verse 8, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." When you look right here, I want to kind of set this stage for a minute. Here you go. You've got 9 months has passed since the angel had come and told Mary that she was going to be with child. Here's Mary. She is very young. She is engaged to Joseph. They have not been married yet. They have not consummated their marriage at all because they were not married. And so there was no reason that she should be pregnant. They find out about that. Mary, you know, accepts that responsibility. Joseph accepts that responsibility. And then they get this call that they got to travel to Bethlehem. And so this is about 9 months later, after the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So now they have traveled to Bethlehem. And on a government decree, so they can go and take the census. And then you get there. Think about these parents now. All of this that they've been through during this 9 months. All of the ridicule they probably and looks they were getting from all these people. Then they get to Bethlehem and there's no room at the end. I mean, they have to be discouraged a little bit. And then you know, Mary, time to have the baby. And she's sitting there in labor. Now, where are we going to go? We've got to go to a feeding trough. And we've got to put our, we've got to have our baby in a cow stall. And when you get there and you're thinking today, you know, you have somebody coming over to your house or you have something that's going on, and we have here at the church, you clean up. I mean, you know somebody's coming over. You're going to try to put on your clothes. You're not going to sit around in your PJs all day or whatever. Somebody's coming to your house. You clean up. You don't want people coming in. I've been to some people's door, knock on the door, and you know, they peep their head out like that. Like, nah, you ain't coming in here. And God bless you, Steve. No matter how you tell them that you're not working for a mess. And so I'm thinking of Mary and Joseph. They've gone through all this. They're tired. She just gave birth. He's laying in a stable. And here come them shepherds. What do you do? And I know Mary and Joseph. I would have been if I was Mary and Joseph. What are you doing here? How did you know where we were? Have you ever thought about when the shepherds showed up, Mary and Joseph are sitting there in a stable that they never knew that they were going to be in a place that they did not expect that they were going to be in, and they've got visitors showing up at the house in the most inopportune time. And you begin to think about this, about the shepherds here, and I want us to go back and look at verses 8 through 12 right there. And there were shepherds living out in fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And what? An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, why were they terrified? Because, I mean, you're sitting out there tending your flocks by night, and then this burst of light, which is the glory, that Shekinah glory of God that is there, you're going to be a little scared. You're going to jump back. And they were really afraid at what was going on. But in verse 10 is really the text for today. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Stop. Don't be afraid. This is not a time of fear. This is not a time of sadness. This is not a time of despair and a time where you got to take your antidepressants. This is a time for joy. I'm coming to bring you good tidings of great joy for how many people? All the people. And you think that here these shepherds were sitting here, and so they go and they make it to the manger and they go and they worship, you know, Christ there at the manger in the place that he was at. And that had to be confirmation to Mary and Joseph, even more than a virgin birth is confirmation, that God was involved in what was happening to them, because the shepherds would not have had any idea where they were, would have had no clue. They were not led here by the star. The wise men were led by the star. It mentions nothing about a star about the shepherds. The shepherds come because of the divine influence of God himself telling them that here, I'm bringing you good news of great joy, which is for all the people. And go down and you look. Today in verse 11, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now I want you to sit there and you think about them shepherds for just a minute. They're sitting out there and they're scared, and the angels go, wait a minute. Don't be scared. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. Now they didn't lay down and cry, oh, pitiful me. They rejoiced and they got up and they just charged off, left the sheep probably. I don't know. Maybe they brought them, like you see pictures, and he's holding them and all that kind of stuff. And they showed up with a crowd, didn't they? Talking about coming in your house and it's dirty. You know, imagine them showing up with a couple of hundred sheep. I guess it was a good place to be, in the stable. I guess that's why God had a stable there, because they had a place for the sheep to kind of play while they were fellowshipping. Hey, that just hit me. God is good. And if I was writing a commentary, that's what I'd put. But in the bottom of your Bible down there. But you think about that news that they heard. This gets repetitive for you and me, y'all, Christmas, because it comes every single year. every single year. And we get repetitive. Oh, Christ. Oh, he was born. Oh, we sing the songs. Oh, come all ye faithful and joy to the world. And it, and I think for some folks out here in the pews, for people who are here this morning, that it gets repetitive for you. It is just the same thing. And in 12 more months, we're going to come back and do the same thing. But I'm telling you, it's a glorious thing to me when I think of Christ coming down here. For I think about it the same way they did, them shepherds. You know, today, I'm thinking about it like it's today because I'm remembering it that way. Today, a Savior was born. Today, Christ has come, the King. And they were thinking it was going to come, this Messiah, this conquering King, to take over the Roman rule for them. But God had something better planned for them. He had something better planned for you. And it says that we're going to have great joy for all the people. Where is that joy at? Where is it? On December the 25th, when you wake up, especially if you're little kids, and it's great joy, right? When the kids get up and they go in and they see that tree and all, you know, all them presents and in their faces, you know, the faces of the kids, that's always the best thing, isn't it, Beverly? Always the best thing, you see the faces. That joy that those kids have when they see that, that should be the same face that you and I make when we remember that gift that was given to you and I. We ought to make that same, we ought to just dive down into it, dive down into the Word and unwrap it, you know, like this entire story and get down into the joy that is there. And it shouldn't be this feeling of tiredness that we feel after going and being pulled to every party and all that we're going to. We can't forget what God has done for us. The fulfillment of the biblical prophecy we talked about 2 weeks ago, when it was 500 years before, he's going to be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, you know, of Judea, and all of those things happen. And then you see God is still involved in this, sending the shepherds over there to the manger. Mary and Joseph, when they got there, they said, how did you know we were here? Well, God told us. They said, well, you know, we figured that, you know, he's been involved in this whole process. We wouldn't be having this baby if it wasn't for him. And that's how the shepherds got there. And then a year or so later, the wise men show up, having followed that star. And we could talk about that, the star that they seen in the east that rose up. And you see how God is orchestrating this entire event and how it's the supernatural influence that is there for Christmas, and it is so amazing. And I can tell you, my passion for what God done for us at this time that we are celebrating is the reason why I am so dispassionate about the commercialism that is there about Christmas. Because it takes away from this great thing that God has done for us. The parties that we have all the time, boom, 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 and that tiredness. And I see people, they come to me and they're crying during Christmas and they stay away. There's people that didn't come to church today. They stay away because of the reminding factors of something else that happened. The Bible's not telling us to remember all of that. The Bible is talking to us about remembering what God done for us. And if you don't understand Christmas and how important the nativity was, I don't understand how you don't get excited about that. As I'm sitting there and I'm listening to these songs and it's talking about worshiping this King, you're talking about that night. And I think about that night. I think tremendously of Mary and Joseph. I think that is some of the most awesome testimony we have in the Bible of these folks that are there. And an angel is going to come, and they were so submissive and obedient to God. And to what an awesome opportunity it was for them, and it was for Mary. I don't think she should be put up here like the Catholics do, but I think Mary was blessed, as Elizabeth told her, and that she was extremely faithful. And what an awesome experience it was for her to look there at that baby and to know that this was the Son of God. To know that one day he was going to grow up. And as he grew, she knew, and the prophecies began to come back to her, she knew he was going to have to die. And she knew she was going to have to give him up. And that she did that. And because she could look back over all of that time and say, well, God sent the shepherds. Look at the wise men, how they come. I was born of a virgin. The biblical prophecies that are here. And then she was still able to rejoice. And I'm telling you, I don't care if it's only 2,000 years we're removed from this event. I don't care if it's 4,000 years that God allows us to tarry, which probably won't be true. But if it is 2,000 more, we should be jumping up and down at Christmas time. because of what God done for us. And so it's just a simple thing that I have for you this morning. Let's be joyful. Let's be joyful. And we can certainly do that in our parties. We can certainly do that in our family events that we're going to be having, whether that be this weekend or all throughout the week. But smile. Be joyful. This is something to smile about. Amen? I hope so. Remember that. And when Satan, the liar, is coming knocking at your door, bringing all of those other things to your remembrance, remember what the angel said to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. Do not be sad. Rejoice, because I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. And just read this to Satan. On that day, I would say, in the town of David, a Savior was born, and he is Christ the Lord. Okay, and that's what I want to say. And you say, my Savior. And I just like to remind Satan of that sometimes, because Satan comes to you and he wants you to be so down during this time. He doesn't want you to remember what Christ has done for you. When Easter, when it comes to that play, how much does Satan attack all of us? I mean, just attack. And he doesn't want us to rejoice and remember these things. And you've got to defeat him in that. And you've got to remind him, say, yes, it was on that day that you had about 33 and a half years before your head was crushed, when he hung his head on the cross and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. Boom. That was it. That was it. Right there. And it started right here. It started right here. Now that's something to be joyous about. That's something to go out there and tell somebody about today. If you are out there and you tell somebody, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Christmas. Merry Christmas. That's what we want to be able to say. That way there's no mistake why you celebrate this holiday. And when they say happy holidays, explain to them and say, no, I don't say happy holidays, because it was on this day that I'm celebrating my Savior was born. And you can share that gospel with them. People are more receptive to the gospel during Christmas and Easter and these holidays than any other time. Don't miss the opportunity. Do not miss the opportunity to plant those seeds that are here. And again, you got any reason why not to come to church? I tell people this all the time. Well, I just can't go because of this, or somebody did this to me, or that reminds me of something. You've got 120,000 reasons why not to come to church. Find that one reason to come. You've got 110 reasons why to be in your bed, just depressed and don't even get up, because of pain in your body or bad things that's happened to you all your life. Find that one reason to find joy. One reason, if it's only that you know this, that Jesus Christ died and he was born so that you didn't have to die. As that song said, he was born so that no more men may die. Now that's awesome. That's awesome. I don't have to die because he was born. Let's pray. Father God, as these are